Today on More to Life, when faith divides. Is faith causing conflict in your relationships? We'll help you find grace-filled ways to respond. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, when faith divides. You know, our faith is supposed to bring us together. You know, Jesus' prayer was that we would all be one as He and the Father are one. But sometimes faith does divide. It causes conflict and tension in our relationships. People are hostile or antagonistic toward our attempts to share or live our faith. Whether it's because we are unequally yoked, so to speak, with our spouse, or our kids are pushing back, whether those are teens or adult kids who've rejected the faith, or our family or friends who are hostile to our attempts to share or live our faith or values, we want to help you respond gracefully to those challenges so that faith can be a source of unity in your relationships. 877-573-7825.
And I appreciate, Greg, that you said people who resent or get nasty about us trying to just live or share our faith, because sometimes us just existing and people knowing that we're people of faith can just set off an earthquake of stuff in that relationship or in our lives. I mean, I know I grew up with that. We've talked about this many times on the air, because I was the only believing, celebrating Catholic in my whole extended family. My dad had been Catholic, and he passed away when I was quite young. And I had a long faith journey back to the church, but the rest of my family did not. And that included my sister, my mother, and my mother's whole extended family. And Greg and I never tried to make a big deal about it, but we both went to a Catholic college. We got married at that Catholic college rather than either of our homes, because our faith was important to us and we wanted to get married with our faith community.
When we were visiting the family, we went to Mass.
Yeah, we'd go to Mass. That's all it took. You know, we weren't jamming our faith down anybody's throat, but we had certain relatives who would just go at us and just come at us with all these assumptions of what we must believe based on, or how we would treat people based on, their presuppositions of people of faith.
Well, and these days it's even, you know, more. Well, there are even more opportunities for faith conflict because of social media. I mean, you share anything about your faith or values online, and it's almost an invitation for trolls and for other people that you even care about to criticize, attack, or otherwise try to undermine you.
And then, as you were saying, Greg, it can be that wide open kind of stuff that separates us from people that we care about. But then it gets to the deep, darker, painful part of it, which is when we are in relationship with somebody very close to us, our spouse, our kids, our parents, our siblings, and we're trying to grow in our faith. We're trying to be people of faith, and we're trying to share the gift of faith with them in these relationships, especially if it's a marriage and children relationship. And if that is not equal, if that is not shared, if that is resented, if somebody is being unkind about it, oh my goodness, that hurts so, so much. And so what do you do about it? Well, that's what we're here to talk about today on More to Life, to help you figure out what to do in your particular situation that may be strained or painful in some way. Give us a call today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share. Is faith causing tension between you and someone in your life? Maybe you're struggling because your spouse isn't on the same page as you are spiritually. Maybe your teens are pushing back against your faith or values, or your adult kids have rejected their faith or values. Maybe your attempts to pray with your spouse or kids or live your faith at home are being met with resentment or hostility. Maybe your extended family is antagonistic toward your faith, or your friends or coworkers are making fun of you for your belief or values, or picking fights with you for that matter. Let us help you find grace-filled ways to navigate those tense situations where faith divides. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that and how could it possibly help me navigate those faith differences, you come to the right place. So St. John Paul gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation and the way he works with us through salvation history.
The theology of the body reminds us that we were created to live in intimate communion with God and others, and that faith is meant to be an integrating force that facilitates those relationships. So what do we do when our faith becomes a wedge in our relationship with our spouse, our children, or our extended families? We need to avoid the twin dangers of either becoming too passive or too aggressive in our attempts to respond to family members' ambivalence or outright rejection of our faith. Instead, the theology of the body points us back to the need to be loving and responsible at all times.
That's right. Those two words, loving and responsible, are themes that keep coming up again and again in St. John Paul's writings. So to be loving in the face of faith conflicts means constantly doing whatever we can to reasonably bring out the best in the people in our lives, in whatever ways are open to us. You know, someone might not be open to hearing about the faith, but they might be open to all the practical things we do to share the love of Christ with them and bring out the best in them, because loving somebody means working for their ultimate good. Now, to be responsible in the face of faith conflict means cultivating the ability to choose to respond in loving ways. That's what responsible means, the ability to respond. And to be loving and responsible means to have the ability to respond in loving ways rather than just reacting in either overly aggressive or passive ways to their doubts or resistance. Instead of allowing the other person's faith struggles to put us off or put us out, we need to prayerfully reflect on how we could respond to them in a way that might open their hearts a little bit more, first to us and then to God. And by taking this loving, responsible approach to faith conflict, the Holy Spirit can use our relationships with others to soften their hearts of stone. So give us a call. You know, are you experiencing a situation with someone you care about where faith is dividing you? Whether that's your spouse, who is not on the same page as you are spiritually, your kids, who are pushing back against your attempts to share or live your faith or values in your home, your extended family, parents, siblings, others you care about, who are antagonistic or hostile to your attempts to live or share your faith. However faith is dividing in your relationships, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to respond and use your faith to bring you and those people together.
And of course, as we talk about this today, we have to realize that there's a lot of effect when that happens. You can end up feeling angry, not knowing what to do. You can end up feeling depressed, not knowing how to get yourself through this relationship that's supposed to mean so much, and yet people are running you down or putting distance between you or being uncharitable toward you. It's a lot to carry. And it's something that we are called to figure out. So give us a call today on More to Life so that we can help you carry that burden and figure out some answers. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you prayed that we would all be one as you and the Father are one. And yet, very often, our attempts to live our faith, share our faith, celebrate our faith, become a source of conflict and division between us and the people that share our lives. And you even noted that our attempts to share our faith or live our faith would undermine peace in some situations or cause conflict. And you remind us that we are blessed when we are persecuted for holiness' sake. But that doesn't make it easy, Lord. We ask you for the grace to know how to respond well to those times when people push back against our faith or are hostile or aggressive to our attempts to live the faith, especially in our homes. We ask you to show us how to respond to those situations charitably, firmly, faithfully, with perseverance, so that we can share your love with all of those who share our lives in whatever ways that are open to it. Help us to first enable the people in our lives to open their hearts a little bit more to us, and then find ways to use our relationships to open their hearts a little bit more to you. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled, When Faith Divides. Is faith causing conflict between you and people you care about or have to deal with in your life? Whether it's faith causing tension between you and your spouse because you're just not on the same page spiritually, or your teens are pushing back against your faith or values or your rules. Maybe you have adult kids who have rejected the faith and it's breaking your heart. Perhaps your attempts to pray with your spouse or kids or live your faith at home is causing resentment in your household. Or your extended family is hostile to your faith. Or your friends are picking fights with you for sharing your beliefs or values. Let us help you navigate those challenges gracefully and find ways to resolve those situations where faith is causing division in your life. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk right now to Faith, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Idaho.
Hello, Faith. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi. I am just wondering, what's a good way to, I guess, kind of discern when enough is enough, as far as... When your family, your loved ones are pushing back against what you might be saying or trying to say.
Which loved ones are we talking about here? Who in the family are, is this a spouse, kids, or extended family?
Yeah, so,
and secondly, what's give me an example of the kind of thing that you're trying to do that they're pushing back against.
Yeah, so I've always been super close with my family, but ever since becoming close with Christ and finding Christ again, I have never been so distant.
And this is extended family or the people that you live with every day? Who is this?
My siblings. We're all scattered now, but we've always had like a group chat. We've always been super close. And now I am no longer a part of the group chat type of thing.
Oh, wow.
I feel like I'm kind of shoving Christianity down their throats when it's more of like, you know, everyone kind of gives their opinion, but because mine involves God, I am, overwhelming them. And so I just, when they start to fight back against it and, you know, their opinion isn't shoving their, you know, beliefs down my throat, but I am to them. And they tend to come for me, like for my character and like who I am. And then, you know, tell me how different I am because I believe in God and that I think I'm better than everyone. And they kind of just use that over and over again. And then I tend to get triggered and like fight back for like.
Sure, sure.
Because I hate how they see Christianity because of something I may say. And so then I protect Christianity as a whole, and then I protect people's relationships with God and everything, and then
sure, and they're like, setting you up. I mean, first of all, Faith,
all that.
Right. Yeah, first of all, let me say this is so painful, and I am so sorry for what you are going through. And you're at the dynamic you're talking about is exactly what they want. You know, something about your faith is triggering some sense of guilt and defensiveness in them. And so then they will push as hard as they can to get that reaction out of you, to get you to flare up so that they can say, see, we were right. She, you know, look at her, she's attacking us, or look at her, she's so pushy. Or like, they're trying to create a self-fulfilling prophecy in the situation, and we've all been through that if we have somebody in our life who is antagonistic about our faith. And it's very hard.
So this is going to sound a little harsh, but it's Jesus' words, not mine. So I'm just going to quote him and then build on that from there. So you know, the Lord kind of counsels us against what he called casting pearls before swine. I'm not insulting your family. I'm not calling them names. I'm just saying the idea is that we need to make sure that whatever we share with whomever we share it needs to be open to hearing it, right? And if we try to share something with people, and they don't know how to take it, they don't know what to do with it, or they respond badly to it, then we need to change our approach. So what I would suggest to you, Faith, is that, you know, when your family is complaining or sharing or you know, kind of expressing their opinions about things, I want you to lean on empathy, right? I just want you to focus on saying, wow, I'm really sorry that you're feeling that way, or that must be really frustrating for you to have to wrestle with that. Or, you know, it's going to sound a little pat to you because you're not sharing as much as you want to share or as in as meaningful ways as you'd like to share, but it's going to land better. And it's gonna help you come across as empathetic and caring and interested in where they're at. And we want to be praying through that. You know, is there an opportunity for you to share something in a way that they'd receive? 9 times out of 10, they're not. So you're gonna want to kind of hold your own counsel there and just lean again on that empathy by, you know, I'm really sorry that you're feeling that way, or that's gonna be really frustrating for you. It's a shame that you had to go through that. Whatever, you know. I can understand how, you know, seeing it the way you do, that would be really difficult for you. You know, those kinds of empathic messages. If they challenge you or say directly, well, what do you think, Faith? Or I know you don't agree with this, or, you know, you're a Christian, so obviously you, whatever, okay? If they challenge you or kind of try to suck you into the drama, at that point you would just want to say, you know, I'd be happy to talk about this with you, but in the past when I've tried to share those things, you've been kind of hostile and antagonistic to that, and I value our relationship. So I'd rather not share those thoughts unless you're really willing to hear it and talk it out. I'd rather just be here for you. And that kind of switches the dynamic, right? Because all of a sudden it's not Faith shoving her faith down our throats. It's wait a minute, you know, Faith thinks that we've been attacking her. And they might try to push you on that. Well, we haven't been this. It's you're the one who... I understand that you feel that way, and that's why I would prefer not to share my thoughts right now, because I don't want you to feel antagonized, and I don't want you to feel attacked, and I don't want to do anything that would damage our relationship. And that will either frustrate them or make them feel better, but either way, you're building emotional capital in the relationship, that you're getting them to not draw you into the drama, not use you as another reason to avoid dealing with Christianity or another excuse to reject it, and you're opening the door for a possible meaningful conversation down the road when somebody actually does come to you and say, you know, I really would like to hear what you have to say about this. Now, that may never happen, but it at least sets the stage for that, and it avoids the the game that they're playing with you right now, and it is a game. It's let's upset faith so that we can have another reason to not believe, because that's how the Christians act, right? And they pull it out of you. So that's,
they don't know necessarily that they're playing the game. It's just a way that Satan gets in there, and they can defend themselves against ever thinking about their life choices, about God at all, about faith in general, and going deeper in their life besides just living the way they're living, which is not making them as happy as they really want to be, but they don't want to look any deeper than what they're looking at. So their brain just reacts that way and causes an issue so that they can avoid the conversation.
So to the degree that you have an opportunity to interact with them at all, I would adopt that approach. We do offer additional suggestions in our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. Faith, thank you so much for the call. I hope that these suggestions will be helpful. If there's more we can do to support you once you're trying this stuff out, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the program. And we're taking your calls about those times when faith divides at 877-573-7825. Back in a minute with Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute, who'll be offering additional insights on how we can handle those times when faith divides. Stick around.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession. And when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about those times when faith divides. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show once again.
Well, you had a very intriguing question. I'm looking forward to hearing the answer. You were going to share what a Russian saint and a mountain lake can teach us about dealing with faith conflict. Take it away, Bill.
Isn't that quite poetic as well? Kind of rhymes a little bit. Just thought we'd start off with a lyrical question. So I think I've been a little transparent on the show before, sharing our stories in our family and extended family, and with four adopted children. We do have some conflicts. We do have two teenagers right now who, one of whom, I won't name any names, we do have big struggles with the faith. So I've always been inspired by this wonderful Russian saint, Saint Seraphim of Sarov. With a name like Seraphim, I mean, that's pretty awesome. And Saint Seraphim said, maintain a spirit of peace and you will save 1,000 souls. Just one of those gem of a quote that I've always loved. Maintain a spirit of peace and you'll save 1,000 souls. Now, that means, again, when the whole world's swirling about you and you're getting resistance or a fight, can't fight fire with fire, you fight fire with water, And I would say that's that peaceful disposition. So the mountain lake slides in here, Dr. Greg and Lisa. A mountain lake that's still waters. It's got deep, deep depths. It's peaceful. And it's reflective, right? When the waters are still and calm, it's reflective. It reflects the fact that God's in charge. The heavens are reflected in the mountain lake that's still. And I think, too, and I see this with my kids sometimes, that it's reflective for them. They can see, if I'm at peace, they can start to see, as you alluded to in your last question with faith there, you know, maybe I need to do some introspection here. What's going on? You know, so that's, that peace can speak. It roots us in God's in charge, and then it can also be reflected for the person who's looking at us and saying, okay, maybe I'm the one agitated here. I've got to do some introspection.
I like that because it reminds us of, well, exactly what we were talking about with our last caller, the need to not get sucked into the drama, not allow the other people to kind of bring out the worst in us, especially when we're trying to share our faith, but rather to step back and realize that God is in charge of this situation, that it's not my job to, you know, protect God from their anger or defend the faith, but rather just be a witness, a faithful, peaceful witness, and to be present and loving however I can be. And whatever they're open to, I can share, and whatever they're not, I'm not going to try to press that issue. I'm going to recognize that this is where they're at, and give them to God and be as loving a presence as I can in the meantime. Bill, I want to thank you for that those insights and kind of the clever way of getting into it. If folks would like to learn more about the good work you're doing at the Theology of the Body Institute, where can they go, and is there anything specific coming up that you'd like to share?
Yeah, we'd love to have you jump on TOBinstitute.org. We've got an online course right now on the Blessed Mother, the Marian Mystery, and we've got some in-person coming up with Dr. Christopher West in a month or so. Come and join us. We'd love to have you.
TOBinstitute.org. And we're taking your calls about those times when faith divides in your life. 877-573-7825. Back with your calls coming up in just a minute.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
On this show and on this network and in many of our other outlets that we have through Ave Maria Radio and EWTN, we're always going to keep you up to date on what's happening in terms of the culture and how toxic the culture is. Certainly, we talk about that every week so you can navigate the media landscape, so you can learn about the challenges and be well aware of them. That's one thing. We talk about religious liberty issues. We talk about the attacks, of course, on the pro-life causes. We need to be aware of all that, which is why we talk about it. So we give you the tools, we give you the information, the research that we come up with as writers, as producers, as presenters, as talk show hosts, on and on and on. But at the end of the day, what do we need to do when we know this? We should be speaking out even more loudly and on a regular basis.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Did you know that research shows that married couples who find time to connect in meaningful ways tend to be happier and more resilient? It's not just about going out for a date now and then. It's about connecting in simple, ordinary ways on a daily and weekly basis. It's about finding ways to work, play, talk, and pray together instead of individually. For example, when couples choose to make a meal or clean up the kitchen together, That experience can nurture a sense of teamwork and collaboration that spills over into other areas of their relationship. Couples can connect by regularly doing something fun together, too. It doesn't need to be big. It might be as simple as reading a book together or taking an interest in one another's hobbies. As small as these rituals of connection might seem, over time, they create a deep, solid foundation for any marriage. They create the time couples need to share experiences, relate on a deeper level, and build a shared life together. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in the book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you would like to find faithful help with your relationship, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled, When Faith Divides. Is faith causing conflict in your relationships? Whether that's because you and your spouse aren't equally yoked, or your kids are pushing back against your faith, whether they're younger kids or adult kids who've rejected the faith. Maybe your extended family, friends, or coworkers are hostile to your attempts to share or live your faith. Whatever the situation is, we want to help you deal gracefully with those times where faith divides. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Call up and share how faith is a wedge issue in your life, and let's talk about how we can manage those difficult situations gracefully.
Let's talk now with our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Canada.
Hi, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you. Love your show, and I listen to you a lot, and I have a question I'd like to ask, have you answer, and I'd like to tell you my little story, and then you can wrap up with answering my question if that works for you.
That works
sure.
Perfectly.
So what's going
Go
on?
Ahead.
Okay, the question is, where do you say enough is enough? And I've been sort of wanting to ask you this for a long time. I'll tell you my quick story. A year ago, I got 30 attacking emails from a brother who's out of town. These emails went to all the siblings. He was basically ranting, raving about everybody. But I was, I'll talk about myself. It's a misspoke me right now, right? Okay, so things he would say like, you have made a pact on your immortal grave. I never met anyone but you and Mama who hid so much behind your face. I never met anyone as controlling, manipulating, unloving, unforgiving. Really bad. Like, I've done 3 interventions in my family, and I can see if you think I'm controlling. Well, that's maybe why. I don't know. They started.
Were these interventions for drug or alcohol use, or what were the interventions for?
Infidelity, gambling, and yes, addiction.
Okay.
So those are for different ones in the family. But anyway, including one of the ones that was on this, that was basically for one brother and one sister. So a few more things. They started attacking my family, including my priest son. And these 2 people in particular, 2 siblings, brother and sister, have left a tsunami of pain in their lives. We got to the point where my husband said, wrote a letter back and said, you know, how dare you insult my beloved wife like this? I want nothing to do, and my children, I want nothing to do with you. You are going down this black hole of abyss. You get out of it. Don't stop now before you get dragged down into this black hole of abyss. And just kind of to wrap it up, I went with my sister to a counselor because she lives in my neighborhood. I thought, I got to fix this, you know, I got to fix this. And I realized that it couldn't be fixed. So just to wrap it up, my spiritual director told me, have nothing to do anymore to do with them. And it was a very difficult decision. I prayed about it. I really felt like God closed the doors for me. I've never been more peaceful with them out of my life. I pray the rosary and mass for them every day, and I look forward to eternal life when this will all be righted. So where do you say enough is enough?
Okay, so let me ask you a question. It sounds like you did all the things you could do. Your spiritual advisor said, no more. You can't keep going down this road. The reaction inside of you to that was a deep sense of peace. So it sounds like you already have your answer. So what's the question about here? Why are you doubting that answer in your life?
Actually, I don't believe I am. I guess maybe it was more to share my story. And yeah, to be honest, I do. I think it'll all be righted in eternal life, and I can.
Well, look, I mean, I think it's instructive, and I'm glad you shared the story.
Very glad you shared the story.
Because a lot of times as Christians, we feel tremendously guilty if we can't fix a relationship all by ourselves.
Guilty and also a little worried, right? There's a nagging part of us sometimes that says, God put these people in my life as my family, and if I don't, heavy emphasis on the I, if I don't set them to rights, if I don't get them to change their lives and give it to God and get themselves together, then maybe God will be mad at me. Maybe there will be repercussions for me. Now, most of us don't think that through clearly, but it's kind of niggling in the back of our minds. But we do have to remember that we read it in Scripture many times, but especially when he says to the disciples, if you've gone and given my word to people and they reject it, leave and shake the dust from your feet. Because there are some people who just will not accept the invitation to know God's love in their lives. It's that burden of free will that we all unfortunately deal with.
Well, and you know, building on what Lisa was just saying, you know, Jesus also kind of lays out a path for dealing with conflict, right? Where, you know, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him. If that doesn't work, then find basically a mediator who can help, you know, tell it to the church. You know, get someone who knows you both to try to mediate the situation. If that doesn't work, then again, shake the dust from your feet. You know, he clearly spells out that we can't make everything work on our own, especially if the other person doesn't want to be in relationship with us. And you've done everything that you can do.
Everything to make that work. She can do. She's followed those exact steps.
So because of that, I want you to be at peace. You know, you've sought counsel. You've actually tried to go to counseling with this one sister in particular.
You've sought the advice of your spiritual director. So you've done all the right things. And as you said, you have that peace about it and you wanted to share that with others, which I think is a very important thing to share.
Yeah.
Because we need to know that your experience can sometimes be applied to our own situations. And we need to remember to take it with as much gravitas as you have taken it. You know, you have never just blatantly just kind of shunned everybody or walked away or said, oh, their souls don't matter. You really did everything that Scripture advises us to do in a situation like this. The good news is that even with this hard line that you have drawn, God can get into places that you cannot. And I can tell by your voice and how you describe this that if any of these siblings had a Paul getting knocked off his horse moment and discovered Christ and started living in a different way because of that faith, you would be the first one to celebrate that and rejoice in that, and possibly, if they were truly safe, let them back into your life. And I think that's what we have to remember in situations like this, that God is doing the work. As much as he calls us to cooperate with that and be a witness to people and be his hands and feet in the world, he never asks us to take on the role of Savior. That's his job.
Thank you so much for the call. I think that your story really is a good illustration of when it's okay to say enough is enough and to draw those boundaries. We always need to leave the door open to the possibility of reconciliation, but that doesn't mean that we have to extend that credit where it isn't due. I mean, if you don't see your family changing, then there's no reason to let them back in. But if they did change, and it's based on the fact that you're continuing to pray for them and you wish them well, I'm sure that if they were to repent, that you would let them back in. And that's the best we can do. Thank you so much for the call, and I really appreciate you sharing your story with us. 877-573-7825. Before we go to our break, I just want to share, we had a really wonderful experience last night. We're talking about how faith divides. One of the things we're trying to do to help faith be a source of unity in families is this Catholic Home app. It's H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. And we've started developing a way for parishes to run monthly Catholic home parenting groups that really talk about how to live the faith at home and, you know, raise a strong, loving Catholic family that is united around our living out our faith, and the faith being the source of the warmth in the home. And we launched a group at a parish last night, and it was a wonderful experience with families just coming together to really learn the habits that can enable them, that research shows can enable them to raise faithful kids and build a strong, faithful family life. They're going to be meeting monthly to really talk more about this and using the Catholic Home app to support them in between meetings. We would love for you to be part of the Catholic Home community. You can subscribe to the app on your own and be part of getting the daily coaching from not just Lisa and I, but our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches, getting creative resources like podcasts, downloadable activities for your family, monthly live stream events, weekly moderated discussions, and just a ton of resources to help support you in building a strong, loving Catholic household on mission. That's what HOME stands for. And really raising the next generation of faithful kids. If you'd like to learn more, you can download the and subscribe to the Catholic Home app. It's $149 for the year. Get 2 free months or $14.95 a month if you like. And if you're interested in learning more about the Catholic Home monthly parish parenting groups, they're free to the parish and to participants. Just reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll set up a meeting and talk through it. But it's a great way to renew the families in your parish. It's absolutely free to the parish and to participants.
It was wonderful last night to see these couples and families who were participating in that webinar. And they kind of like saw each other on the web stream. And they were like, oh, now I will be able to say hi to somebody at church and have something that we know we can talk about and be in common. Oh, now Donut Sunday is not going to be quite as awkward. So not only are they building the faith in their own marriage and family lives, but they're connecting with people in a very non-awkward way in the parish so they can build their own personal friendships and also build up the parish life.
We'd love to share that with you. So again, if you'd like to become a member of Catholic Home, subscribe to the app today, or if you'd like to learn more about running the monthly parish groups, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. They're free to the parish and to participants. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12.
Blessed are you when they insult you, persecute you, and falsely utter every kind of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven.
And of course, this was the gospel this past Sunday, the Beatitudes. And you know, just a reminder, you know, of course, this doesn't give us permission to go and be jerks to everybody.
No.
But when we are honestly trying to share our faith and live our faith and others attack us, it's good to remember that God is in charge and that he is blessing us and holding us close to his heart.
It can be really hard to hear this, though, because we really have that mindset of, I've done good things, God should be pleased with me, and therefore he should have all these people fall in line with what I'm saying to them. But as I mentioned kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek before, we're sort of burdened by the gift of people's free will. And we can do all the right things. We can try so hard. But they have the ultimate decision on whether or not they are going to accept God in their lives. And sometimes when they don't want to, they can really be very unkind to those who are trying to tell them about God. And it's heartbreaking, but God is saying there is hope. So hold fast to that and keep trying.
With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show today titled When Faith Divides. Is faith causing tension between you and someone in your life? Maybe you're struggling because your spouse isn't on the same page as you are spiritually. Maybe your teens are pushing back against your faith, or your adult kids have rejected the faith. Maybe your attempts to pray with your spouse or kids or live your faith at home are being met with resentment or hostility, or your extended family is antagonistic toward your attempts to live or share your faith. Whatever the challenge is, let us help you find grace-filled ways to navigate those situations where faith divides. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Hello, Steve Ray here. We're going to Normandy, France in November to celebrate the 80th anniversary of D-Day. We'll also be in Paris for the opening of the resurrected Notre Dame Cathedral. Join us on a pilgrimage of discovery through the saints and shrines of France. Catherine Laborie and the Miraculous Medal, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the incorrupt body of Vincent de Paul, a dinner cruise through Paris on the Seine River, and so much more.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net. Italy aficionado Teresa Tomeo's newest book is now out on the Ave Maria online store. In Italy's Shrines and Wonders, Teresa Tomeo provides how best to navigate the most popular sites, best routes, and how to best to soak in all the beauty Italy has to offer. She also shares the most inspiring journeys to make your Italy excursion utterly unforgettable. Italy's Shrines and Wonders from Catholic Connections Teresa Tomeo can be purchased at avemariaradio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And before we start taking more of your questions, we want to send out some congratulations.
We do. We want to send out congratulations to another EWTN radio partner. Athens Catholic Radio, serving Athens, Georgia, is celebrating 8 years with EWTN.
Woo! Congratulations to George Segalis and everyone at WXPB from your friends right here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are listening to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure to support your local EWTN Catholic Radio station, certainly with your prayers, but also with your dollars. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you in living a more joyful, faithful, and abundant life. And thanks again to George Segalis and everybody at Athens Catholic Radio. We're taking your questions today on More to Life on our topic titled When Faith Divides.
We have an email here that came in at questions at moretoliferadio.com from Kathleen in Pennsylvania. She said, my sister and I have very different lives and very different parenting styles. I'm a stay-at-home mom with three kids under six, and my husband and I are both faithful Catholics. She's a career woman and a mom of two children, five and eight. She goes to church when she feels like it, like on Christmas and Easter. I'm comfortable with letting her have her own journey and trust that God is never going to let her down and be with her in her life at some point. But anything I say about my family, my own happiness or struggles, my faith at all, she takes it like I'm challenging her and either gets cold to me or defensive. I'm exhausted by it, and I don't know how to fix it, and it's driving my poor parents crazy because it's ruining every family gathering we have. Is there anything I can do to change this? Kathleen in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Kathleen, thank you so much for the question. So I'm going to suggest that you do two things, actually. Before the next family gathering, don't wait for the gathering to happen, but before the next one, have a conversation with your sister where you make the implicit explicit. What I mean by that is that you kind of have a meta conversation about the way these conversations go. You say to her, hey, you know, when I try to share a little bit about my life, my what's going on with me, especially whenever it touches on faith and those kinds of things, you kind of respond to it as if I'm like attacking you or making a judgment against you or trying to lecture you or something. I guess I don't understand why or what it is, but that, you know, you're responding to it in a way that I don't understand and I'm not expecting. And I'm trying to understand what you're reading into what I'm saying so that I can maybe either clarify what I'm trying to do or help you understand that I'm not trying to attack you in any way. Like, what's going on there? Help me understand what you're hearing when I share this stuff. And then just let her kind of say, well, you know, I think you, blah, 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 you know, whatever it is. And at which point you can just sort of say, well, you know what? I'm really sorry you feel that way. That is not at all what I'm trying to do. You know, honestly, I'm just trying to talk about my life. I'm trying to talk about kind of where I'm at in different things. And God's a big part of that for me. And my faith is a big part of that for me. I'm not saying that I expect it to be, you know, part of your life necessarily. I'm not even saying that you have to agree with me. I'm just trying to share my life with you like you share your life with me. And I'd really love to be able to do that without you feeling attacked or attacking me. What can we do to get past that? You know, sometimes it's just as simple as having that meta conversation that gently calls out the pattern and asks, honestly, because you're curious and you want to know how she's taking you or how you might be coming across. And if you're able to clarify what your intention really is, you know, maybe she'd be willing to just sort of be a little bit more at peace and receive what you're trying to share in the spirit it's intended. I said I wanted you to do two things. That's the first thing. The second thing is, having had that conversation, it's important to do that first. You know, when you try to share whatever with your sister and you get that reaction again, because I'll almost guarantee you that even if you have this conversation, she's still going to be this way. Just gently remind her. Hey, say, you know, hey, we kind of talked about this, and I'm really sorry if you're feeling judged, attacked, lectured, whatever. I'm really not trying to do that. This is just where I'm at. This is just who I am, and this is just my life. And I want to be able to share my life with you. You know, so, you know, how can I do that without you taking it personally? You know, just sort of put it out there. Again, you know, make the implicit explicit and give her a choice. You know, and then the choice being, you know, can you have a conversation with me where I'm sharing my life and you don't react this way? Or do we just need to not be around each other anymore? You know, you're not explicitly saying that.
But please don't explicitly say that, because then she'll really feel attacked.
But that's the implication.
But if you put this in her lap, you know, and that's where it deserves to be, in her power to control this, and say, is there a way that we can be together with me having just told you I am not doing anything to intentionally attack you? I'm just sharing my life. I want you to share your life. I'd love for us to be there for each other. How can we do that? You're making her move into problem-solving mode instead of her just blaming you for any of her unhappiness or her perceptions. She has to move into a place of how she can problem-solve this. And it's okay to say, you know, I want to be able to get together with you, and I know Mom and Dad would really love to be able to be with us all as a family, all their grandkids and their kids in the same place, and have us all enjoy the experience.
Last point I'll leave you with, and this can be something you kind of keep in your back pocket, but you might want to address even the question of respect, to be able to say, you know, I'd love for us to be able to respect each other. Mm-hmm. And to say, you know, what I mean by that is, even if two people don't agree with each other, and maybe live very different lives or think very different thoughts, when you respect each other, you try to see what's good or what's true, you know, and what you can kind of support as best you can in what the other person's saying. And I'd like to be able to feel that with you. You know, I know you don't get my life. I know that you don't agree with a lot of things.
Choices.
And that's okay. But I would love it. I'd love to feel respected where, you know, you could at least see what I'm trying to do that's good. Just like I try to do with you. I'd like to be able to get to that place where we could at least respect each other. Would you be willing to do that with me? And you just, you know, kind of put that, again, back in her lap, like Lisa was just talking about. All right? Thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. You can also learn more in our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, available at CatholicCounselors.com. And listeners, if you are struggling in your marriage or your family life and faith is dividing, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.